Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, it's my great pleasure to be a different voice on Ag Matters. And I have here in the studio, of course, Amy Pettit. And today, we're going to do a role reversal, yeah. Sort of. I'm going to interview her because we realize that many listeners out there may have some sense of who she is and what she's about because she's done all these extraordinary interviews with all kinds of people associated with agriculture. Welcome, Amy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. And to those folks that were expecting to hear Mr. Dwayne Clark's voice this morning, they got to make hay when the sun is shining. And so we had to do a quick switcheroo. We hope to get Dwayne back on the schedule in early November when fall is probably going to be over and hopefully all the hay will be put up. So, yeah. So thanks, Mike, for being willing to switch things around and talk to me about who I am and what the trust does, because although it's coming up on almost 2 years of doing these Ag Matters shows, we haven't really talked about the trust before specifically.
Right. And, yeah. And what we'd like to do is also talk a little bit about your own role.
Yeah.
So tell the listeners the true title that you operate under and how long you've been doing it and what that means. You work with a board, et cetera, yeah. Et cetera. Go
yeah.
for it.
So my title is executive director. And for anyone out there who's ever been involved with a nonprofit, if they hear those words, executive director, they probably think holder of all the torches or wearer of all the hats, right? When you're the ED, you have to know a little bit about all of the different roles. And when you're at a small nonprofit such as Farmland Trust, where I am the only paid employee, you really have to have a little bit of skill set in all the things. And I've been with the trust for 3 years. I hit 3 years in August. And before that, I was with the Alaska Division of Agriculture for a decade. After a decade over there in state government, I was just ready to try on something new, but my heart and soul and passion is in agriculture, and there just aren't that many agriculture-related jobs in the state unless you want to be a farmer yourself, which I'm just not ready to do. So I came to the trust, and I was real clear with the board of directors that I really had no experience or knowledge in the area of land conservation. I didn't know what that was. I knew a little bit about it, but I really did not have the background of land conservation at all. My background is agriculture related. It's marketing related. And I felt that Farmland Trust needed an executive director that could bring awareness to the organization. I felt like there were many Alaskans who just didn't know what Farmland Trust was. And I firmly believed that if we could raise awareness about the organization, more people would support it. It's one of those things like, as soon as you know what it is, you buy in. And I felt that that's what the organization needed and that's what I could bring to the table. And thankfully, that board of directors agreed with me. They figured they could work with me on the land conservation knowledge or lack thereof on that side of the equation. And we've worked together well for the last 3 years. Specifically, the board of directors is who I report to. We currently have 7 board of directors. We just said farewell to a longtime serving member, Michelle Church. She wasn't a founding board member, but she's been on the board for almost a decade, we think. And we just we let her resign at our last board meeting, which was hard to do. And we welcomed on a new board member, Aaron Kittredge, from here in town. So yeah, there's 7 of them. We're kind of quietly recruiting a couple more board members right now. We'd like to grow that board up to 9, 10, 11 range, just because we're in a real growth pattern right now and we need more board members to take on more projects, et cetera.
So just for listeners' sake, yeah. That's a great overview of kind of the background here. How large is the trust? We know the number of board members. We know you're working. But how large a footprint in terms of how would one measure by acres that have been conserved or monies that are involved?
Right.
You know, what's the size?
Sure.
Of the trust?
Good question. A couple different ways to look at it. The most proud number, the thing that we are, cheerleading about the most is our acres secured, acres protected, permanent protection. And we just went over 300 acres with our last easement earlier this year. So 300 acres throughout the greater Palmer area are permanently protected forever through our easement footprint. So that's one measurement. Another measurement that we like to consider in terms of what is the reach of the trust is that we have had over 300 individuals donate to our organization. So we're proud of that number too. It actually came up last night. Why, if it's Alaska Farmland Trust, why have you only protected acres in the Palmer area? Why isn't it the Palmer Farmland Trust?
Good question.
Yeah, fair question, right? The good news is that Alaska Farmland Trust is a statewide nonprofit that can do work anywhere within the boundaries of Alaska. The great news also is that there's incredible farmland all across the state, so we have work to do everywhere. Because of our limited funding, we have to prioritize where we do our work. We can only afford, due to time and money, to do one of these easement projects about one every year and a half to 2 years. And therefore, we have to rank applications and put them in order and look at the different assets to the property. And to date, we haven't had a property outside of the greater Palmer area outrank a Palmer property. Could happen. We hope that it happens someday. We have an application in queue right now from a Kenai area landowner. But because of the makeup of the land and our ranking formula, it just hasn't risen to the top yet. But we can work statewide, and I mean, that would be a great thing to have a notch in my belt, so to speak, to protect a property outside of this area at some point.
So very often an organization has a mission statement and a vision. Land conservation seems to be in focus here. How would you describe the mission that guides the board and you in your activities?
Yeah. So officially, our mission is to permanently protect farmland for all Alaskans. Very simple. We want to protect as many acres as we can. We've broadened that a little bit to say, and I'm just going to read straight from one of my flyers. It says, the Alaska Farmland Trust envisions a future with thriving local food markets that will give Alaskans access to fresh, healthy food and keep our farmers farming. We do this by preserving farmland. So I think that's one of the other reasons that I was a good fit for the organization is that for the 10 years prior to coming to Farmland Trust, I worked at the State Division of Agriculture managing the Alaska Grown Program, trying to find more farmers to go into food production, finding markets for those farmers, et cetera. And the jump to land conservation was a big one in some ways, but on the other hand, it's about food.
Right.
It's about our food future.
Okay.
It's about supporting farmers, enhancing this agriculture industry as a whole so that we can do more to feed ourselves. And that's kind of the greater, bigger picture. That's why we can get away with doing these fun food-related events and fun beer drinking-related events. And, you know, we can stretch the boundaries a little bit and say, well, aren't you just a land trust? Well, we are, but we're connecting Alaskans back to their food and making them more aware of why this is important.
I'd like you to just maybe briefly point to the specific land that has been conserved.
Sure.
And after that, what is coming up next is parcels.
Yep. So the very first property that the trust protected was what was known as the Heaven Farm. It's 40 acres over off of Higher Road in the Farm Loop area, and that was our first easement. It's a beautiful 40-acre property. It's been hayed for many, many, many years. And the Heavens, Margaret and Leroy, for anyone that knew them, they were very passionate about that property and knew that they wanted it to stay in farmland forever. So that was the first property. The second property is two 40-acre parcels owned by the McCormick family. That is off of Palmer Fishhook. Again, both properties, both acreages are currently in hay production. And really, the views and the viewscape from those properties are just amazing. Great shots of Pioneer Peak. And also in an area rapidly being developed out there in the Fishhook area. So that was our second and third easement was with the McCormick family. The fourth easement was with, well, third or fourth. There's kind of a, it depends on how you count landowners or parcels. But anyways, the next project was the 40 acres that we protected behind the state fair. Everybody's familiar with that one. It's got our great big Farmland Forever sign, another hayfield. And just to pause on that, another criticism that we've heard a few times is, does Farmland Trust only protect hayfields? And no, we don't only protect hayfields. Many of our properties are currently in hay production, but there's a huge demand for hay in this state, and there's good money to be made in hay production. And keeping in mind that when we put an easement on a property, it's protected forever for agricultural production, and at any day, any minute, a farmer could choose to take that land out of hay production and put it into specialty crop production or some other food production. So again, that was the next parcel was that state fair parcel. A couple years ago, what was it, 2015 or 16, either my first or second year with the organization, we wrapped up the easement on the muskox farm. So that's a almost 80-acre parcel just north of Palmer, some incredible soils there. Again, currently housing those beautiful creatures, those muskox. But again, at any time, the muskox could go away. The land will still be agriculture, must be agriculture, must be farmed. And then the last property that we just protected with the Great Land Trust in partnership with them was 74 acres of the Spring Creek Farm, right off of that's Farm Loop there, isn't it? I said Farm Loop earlier when I was referring to Heavens. I'm not good at math or maps, but anyway, the Spring Creek Farm at one time was the largest privately owned farm in the Mat-Su Valley, and just about 80 acres of it will always be farmed again, also in hay production at this time. What is on the horizon? We are currently under contract with the Lewis family. Brad and Pam Lewis own acreage in a couple of different spots here in the greater Palmer area, and we are working with them on their 70-plus acres north of Palmer off of Collier Road at the intersection of Collier and the Glen Highway. That property has been used for potato production for decades and decades. Currently, Brad and Pam are retiring out of potato production, and they're leasing it to a guy that's got some hay and grain growing there. But hopefully we'll have that one wrapped up in early 2019. And then the next three applications, which is exciting, we have three additional properties that we can pick from kind of in queue, are a 95-acre parcel also off of Palmer Fishhook that's currently being grazed and hayed. We have a 40-acre parcel in vegetable production. And the next one we don't have all of the specifics on, but it's a pretty prime property here in the Palmer area as well. So lots to do.
So I'd like to ask another question. As you were talking about this, I was thinking, okay, so the land is conserved, and as you've said, it must be used for agricultural purposes. How can that work down the road? As you have someone, for example, right now that's haying it,
yep,
and then they want to sell it, but it would be sold with this restriction that it would be, yep, used for agricultural purposes. But what if it's sold, and what does it mean to be used for agricultural purposes?
Yeah.
Do you have to do something with it on a yearly basis, or could it be left fallow?
Sure. Great question. And just to start that, answer, I always like to provide that point of clarification that Farmland Trust doesn't own property. There are land trusts in the state that own property. We don't, to date.
Good point.
Someday we might. I would love to have a budget that would allow us to buy some property outright and do some neat incubator farm projects or farmer training workshops on property that we owned. We're not there yet. Again, something that I hope to accomplish in my time at Farmland Trust. But what happens to the property if the current landowner who we put the easement on the property with wants to sell out and the next guy doesn't want to follow the same path? The restrictive easement that we put on the property is tied to the deed.
Oh.
So it's buyer beware, so to speak.
Okay.
When you go to buy a property that has one of our easements on it, you should know that we will be coming and monitoring, and the expectation is that that property will be in agricultural production. Now, some folks' production cycle includes a year of lying fallow. Mm-hmm. It might include 2 years of lying fallow before producing a crop the third year. That's totally fine. That's acceptable. But your plan must include agricultural production. And we are backed by a national organization called the Land Trust Alliance. Most of our properties have been permanently protected with United States Federal Department of Agriculture dollars. So we have a long line of people behind us that we have to report to and make sure that these standards are being met. So I always like to warn landowners or talk to them about it that we want to work with you. We don't want to issue a fine. We don't want to call your lawyer. We don't want to do any of those things. We want to see you actively farming the land, and we're going to help you get there. And we also understand that life happens, things happen, but your plan has to be for agricultural production every year. That makes sense?
Yes. Now, you've mentioned dollars, and you've mentioned federal monies and so on. Looking at all the flow of money that comes to the Farmland Trust so that you can do stuff. Mm-hmm. Give listeners some sense of how much comes from where.
Sure. Yep. So in 2011 and in 2012, the trust was very thankful and grateful to receive each year $500,000 from the state appropriation budget. So that was great.
Okay.
$500,000 twice, total of $1 million. When we go to protect a property, we utilize a federal grant program that pays for half of the project. So right off the bat, if we know that, say, a project is going to cost $1 million, half of that budget comes from the federal government. So that's great. A quarter of the bill is paid by our other resources, including state money, foundation money, fundraised money, et cetera. And it's important to point out that our equation also has that a quarter of the value is actually donated by the landowner.
Oh.
We expect the landowner to put some skin in the game, so to speak. Now, there's, of course, a benefit to the landowner for doing that. If you make a donation towards one of these projects, that's a federal tax benefit for you that you can carry forward for the next 15 years.
Okay.
So huge benefit to landowners in that regard. But that is an expectation now. So that's how we pay for this. And speaking more specifically about the funds other than federal money that we receive, when we close on the Lewis property, again, hopefully within the next 6 months, we will have expended all of those state dollars. We will be out of state money. So with the $1 million that they gave us, we will have protected 375 acres, and we're pretty proud of that. That pencils out very strongly. But then there's the big question mark. Where's the money going to come from? We fully anticipate that the federal government will continue to support us. The current Secretary of Agriculture is a big fan of these projects. He has maintained funding, and there's even a rumor that the new farm bill could include increased funding for this type of work. But we still have a big bill to come up with from our equation. So foundations such as the Murdoch Foundation, the Rasmussen Foundation, hopefully the Mattsu Health Foundation, will be soliciting support from those types of organizations, again, connecting this back to Alaska's food security and the importance of protecting this property for the long-term benefit of all Alaskans. And we've really done a good job of increasing the number of individual donations that we receive. We get quite a bit of money through Pick, Click, Give, through Fred Meyer Community Rewards, through Amazon Smile, and just through monthly donations when folks, you know, want to give us $5 a month, you know, the cost of their latte, or $25 a month through a credit card contribution. We've grown that number significantly.
Okay, that's pretty comprehensive. Would you say that you have also the potential for receiving donations, if not in funds, but even in property, as someone passes away, wills, estates,
yeah,
and so on?
Yeah.
How's that look?
You know, that is a huge part of this equation that to date, again, the organization Farmland Trust, I don't know if I've said this yet, but we're only just a little over 10 years old, incorporated in 2005. So, and to have protected 5 properties in that time, we're pretty proud of that as well.
Okay.
But we've yet to receive a donated easement.
Oh.
That's something that we haven't accomplished yet. However, also on the horizon, we are working right now with a landowner here in the Palmer area who is interested in donating an easement on their property totaling just under 16 acres, might even, I'm not sure where the boundary of city limits is on the way out of town, but it's right here close. It's a prime property, and the landowner wants to donate that easement to us. So we're hopefully the next time I talk about myself here on the show, we can say that we've done that. And we are prepared to receive other properties. Again, we haven't completed it yet, but our lawyer's been working on all the forms and all the paperwork and what it takes for a landowner to donate a property to us. So we're getting there.
Mike Malefsky, and I'm here with Amy Pettit, who's the leader of the Farmland Trust. And we're here talking about what she does, what the trust does, and covering some ground that we have maybe not yet covered so that listeners will understand what this organization is all about.
Yeah.
How many people work for the trust?
Again, just me. I'm the only paid employee. We get a couple of contract workers throughout the summer. Margaret Adsett, of course, is my right arm when I have her. But again, that's just maybe, man, I maybe get her like 5 hours a week or something. It's not enough. But that's that crescendo that we're just about to hit. We are ready to grow the organization. We're ready to bring on a couple of more staff. Over the course of 3 years, we've certainly identified what Amy's skill set is and is not. And we need to fill some of those shoes with some folks that have some of those other skills.
If listeners are thinking, oh, this was something I'd like to be involved with or support in one way or another, you've mentioned donations, you mentioned that you're soliciting for board members. Are there any other, for example, opportunities to volunteer when you do events, things of that sort? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I just ran into a gal yesterday morning who kind of fit this description perfectly. She said, you know, I've heard about the trust. I support your organization and I want to get more involved. And my answer was, are you thinking at the board level or committee work or volunteer? Or do you just want to receive our newsletter quarterly? How involved do you want to get? We've got options for everybody. So we do have a quarterly email newsletter that you can sign up to receive on our website or shoot me an email and I'll get you signed up. That's one way just to, you know, be paying a little bit more of attention to what we're doing and how, why we're doing it. Second thing is to volunteer at some of our events. We have some major events throughout the year that we could not possibly pull off without volunteers. So if that's something that you like to do, whether it's serving beer at an event or, you know, moving hay bales or unpacking tables, decorating, we always need all sorts of help at events. So volunteers are something that we're always looking for. Committee work. We have three standing committees within the Farmland Trust. We have a fundraising committee, a finance committee, and a lands committee. And it kind of makes sense what those three groups do. Most specifically, folks ask about the lands committee, and that's the first layer when we get an application from a landowner and we're trying to decide if it's a property that's worthy of our time and attention. It's the lands committee that makes that first layer of decisions. So if that's something that might interest somebody, we would welcome interest into those committees. And then, yes, our board of directors. Again, we don't really have a formalized system for bringing on new board members. We have an application, we have a job description, we have an interview with that person and our full board of directors. We decide if maybe they'd be a better fit for a committee before they come on to the full board. And if there's folks out there that are listening that want to get more involved, I would love to have them contact me. Speaking of which, my email is amypettit@akfarmland.com, and it's amypettit@akfarmland.com.
And does the trust have a website, Facebook page, things like that?
Yeah, we're doing all that stuff. We've got a great website. Actually, our website needs a little work. Margaret and I were just talking about it the other day, but akfarmland.com is our website. Comes to mind that I just did turn off the web store. If folks are looking for swag and they tried to click on the store and it said, oops, page not found, I did that on purpose. We're reevaluating our inventory before the holidays, just throwing that out there. But we are also active on Facebook and Instagram with regular announcements about events and activities and how people can help.
Inventory. What kind of things are we talking about once you turn the store back on?
Yeah, when we turn the store back on, we should have a whole array of our Farmland Trust logoed gear, t-shirts, hats, hoodies, and more importantly, our Drink Beer Safe Farms swag. That stuff has just become so popular. We nearly sold out of everything at the fair, and many sizes and colors of t-shirts were completely gone, and we had disappointed potential customers. So hopefully before the holidays, that store will be revamped and full of items for folks to buy and give to friends, et cetera.
And it's good to mention that you did have a presence. You have a building and a location just outside the large animal building there at the Alaska State Fair.
Yep.
Where you were there, others were there, people could come by and look at these items and also talk about variety of things that involve the Farmland Trust.
Yeah, it's always a grueling, long 12 days at the State Fair, but it's so worth it. Every time I start to complain a little bit about time spent at the fair, I look at the numbers, I look at the outreach, new names collected for our newsletter, et cetera, and you're just reminded that it's worth it to be there.
Okay. Amy Pettit, any last comments, things that we have not talked about that listeners would enjoy and benefit from?
Yeah. Well, I'd love to talk about Oktoberfest, but it's sold out, so I don't even want to tell people about it. We'll be having a great time with 400 of our closest friends over at the Muskox Farm on Saturday. Do a little happy dance that the weather holds for us, that the wind gets out of its system this week. And I just want to say thank you to folks for the continued support of Alaska Farmland Trust. Please do engage with us to learn more. And we will have a big ask coming out this fall. We have a project that we need some financial assistance on. So watch for that. And if you're so inclined, throw a donation our way.
Okay. Well, thank you, Amy Pettit from the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Thank you, Mike.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.